watch out, the cicadas are coming. Now, after spending 17 years underground, millions of cicadas will be emerging in parts of the United States. Periodical cicadas are expected to come out in early summer across southwest Virginia, parts of North Carolina, and in West Virginia. The last time the cicadas emerged in many of those regions was in 2003 and 2004, although some areas saw an emergence in 2013. As many as 1.5 million of the insects can emerge per acre of land. Can you imagine it? Whilst they're some of the longest-lived insects in the world, periodical cicadas spend almost their entire life underground in what entomologists call nymphs. They live in the soil and feed on tree roots for periods of either 13 or 17 years, depending on the species. The species makes up to 15 separate broods, with brood 9 emerging this year as part of their 17-year cycle. When the nymphs are ready, they build mud tubes, called a cicada hut, in the soil and crawl out to find a place to molt in their winged adult form and to mate. They only live for 2 to 4 weeks as adults, but during that time can cause significant damage to young trees, including apple, dogwood, peach, hickory, cherry and pear, as well as to vines and saplings where females lay their eggs. The male cicada is also very loud, singing by vibrating membranes on their abdomen to court females. You probably know the sound. We get it here every year. Now, the sound is described by Virginia Tech as like a field of out-of-tune car radios. Now, why the insects emerge on those specific intervals remains unclear, though some researchers think it could help them avoid predators. There's also a species of cicada that emerges every year called dog day or annual cicadas. I suppose that's what we get, annual cicadas.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Very, very loud at the moment.
Oh, really? I haven't noticed them yet.
Mm.
Really? You've got them in Nice?
Not in Nice, at the Var.
In the Var. No, I haven't noticed them in Jean-Lipin yet. I did find a cricket on my potato plant on Saturday, though. Very big thing it was. I thought it was a bit of wood and I went to sort of brush it off and it jumped. Time for this morning's comedy. Special advisors, who needs them?
I suppose the origin of this criticism is this rumour about another big scandal in the city.
How did you guess?
Oh, Humphrey, I've decided to respond to all this criticism about a scandal in the city. The press is demanding action.
What are you proposing to do?
I shall appoint someone.
And when did you take this momentous decision?
Today, when I read the papers.
But when did you first think of it?
Today, when I read the papers.
And for how long, may I ask, did you weigh the pros and cons of this decision?
Not long. I decided to be decisive.
Prime Minister, if I may say, I think you worry too much about what the papers say.
Only a civil servant could have made that remark, Bernard. I have to worry about them, particularly with the party conference coming up. These rumours of a scandal just won't go away, you know.
Well, let's not worry about it until it becomes something more than a rumour. I'd just like to show you the cabinet agenda.
No, not just now. For this is rather more important.
With respect, Prime Minister, it is not. The only way to understand the press is to remember that they pander to their readers' prejudices.
Don't tell me about the press. I know exactly who reads the papers. The Daily Mirror is read by people who think they run the country. The Guardian is read by people who think they ought to run the country. The Times is read by the people who actually do run the country. The Daily Mail is read by the wives of the people who run the country. The Financial Times is read by people who own the country. The Morning Star is read by people who think the country ought to be run by another country. And the Daily Telegraph is read by people who think it is.
Prime Minister, what about the people who read The Sun?
The Sun readers don't care who runs the country as long as she's got big tits.
Grain of truth in that.
Today's quiz, question number one. The chauffeur who drove Beatle John Lennon around in his famous psychedelic Rolls Royce has died at the age of 86. Coincidentally, it was on this day that Lennon took the delivery of his psychedelically painted Rolls Royce. What was the year?
66.
Oh, very close. I'll give you another guess.
67?
Yep, 1967. He was paid £36 a week in the 1960s to be on permanent call in John's Phantom 5.
Summer of Love.
Question number two. I've lost it now. Question number
Never
two
had it.
Is, it was on this day in 1978 that this man, after seeing The Hype, which was soon to become U2, appearing at the Project Art Centre in Dublin, became their manager. Who am I talking about?
What's his face? McGuinness.
Correct.
Paul
McGuinness. And finally, on this day in 1963 that George Harrison released which single in the UK?
63?
73. Did I say 63?
Well, it wasn't My Sweet Lord.
No.
That was earlier, wasn't it? Neither was It Was His Life.
No.
Is it Give Me Love, Give Me Peace
it
on Earth?
It certainly is, yeah. Give Me Love, George Harrison, released on this date in 1973. And just to remind you that we would have been finding out what the Palme d'Or was for the film festival. Last year, of course, this time last year, it was, of course, Parasite, the South Korean film Parasite, won the Palme d'Or.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
One person has died from coronavirus in the Alpes-Maritimes region, according to figures released on Sunday, bringing the total number of lives claimed by the virus in the region to 244. 133 people are still hospitalised and 11 are still in intensive care. In the Var, the number of deaths to date stands at 222, with 163 patients hospitalised. No new cases were reported in Monaco on Sunday. To date, 98 people have been affected by the coronavirus in the principality, 90 people have recovered, and 2 patients are in intensive care. Meanwhile, the COVID-19 testing programme for Monaco residents continues this week at both the Espace Léo Ferré and at the Grimaldi Forum. Opening hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Testing is on a voluntary basis and alphabetical order and is free of charge. But remember to take your Monaco residence or identity card. You can get further information in English at covid19.mc. On a national level in France, 121 new patients were admitted to hospital in the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of hospitalisations to 17,185. This is a slight rise since mid-April. The latest figures for the number of deaths from the virus was not given. A figure is expected to be released later today. 1,655 patients are currently in intensive care in France. Since the start of the epidemic, 100,340 people have been hospitalised, including 17,725 in intensive care, and 64,617 people have returned home. The Operation Clean Sea Association has announced its concern over the number of surgical masks and latex gloves found floating in the waters of the French Riviera. Founder of the association, Laurent Lombard, said that after carrying out a clean-up campaign this weekend in the Bay of Golfe-Juan, 200 litres of various waste was collected, including 5 disposable surgical masks and 4 latex gloves. Lombard has called for citizens to act responsibly as local MPs look set to implement tougher measures with fines of €300 in order to stop people from discarding masks irresponsibly. Police have warned of a scam in Valaris in the Alpes-Maritimes. Several elderly people have been approached by individuals posing as inspectors from the regional health agency and offering to carry out tests in their homes in order to detect the potential presence of COVID-19. Anyone who may have been approached is advised to contact the town hall or the local police on 0493 643031. That's 0493 643031, and that number is also available on our webpage rivieradio.mc. Princess Charlene of Monaco has presented her team for the virtual 24 Heures du Mans, which takes place on June the 13th and 14th. 50 cars are set to participate in the first virtual version of the race. It was in June last year that Her Serene Highness Princess Charlene of Monaco officially launched the 87th edition in front of more than 250,000 spectators. Launched in 2012, the Princess Charlene of Monaco Foundation's priority objective is to save lives by teaching children to swim and avoid drowning. Its actions are also based on the values of sport, such as discipline, respect for oneself and for others, as well as team spirit. The French government has announced the cancellation of €3 billion worth of social security contributions for businesses which have been affected by the COVID-19 crisis, notably in the restaurant, tourism, culture and sports sectors. Since the lockdown began on the 17th of March in France, most companies and shops have had to close temporarily, many resorting to what is known as technical unemployment, whereby the government steps in and helps pay workers' salaries. The Finance Ministry has outlined that the newly announced relief measures will help companies which lost income during the imposed lockdown period. Finally, the director of the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control has warned that it is not a question of if there will be a new wave of the coronavirus, but when. As many countries have started an easing on lockdown measures, Andrea Amon said Europe must prepare for a second wave of the COVID-19. Amon added that the virus is around us, circulating much more than in January and February, stressing that the figures concerning the immunity of the population were not encouraging, with 85 to 90% remaining exposed to COVID-19. While Andrea Amon said she didn't want to paint a disastrous image, she added, "We have to be realistic, and now is not the time to completely relax." While many European countries have started to lift restrictions on deconfinement, Andrea Amon believes that a second wave will not necessarily be disastrous if people continue to follow the rules of social distancing.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
It's cheerful, isn't it? Andrew says that surely Dominic Cummings' choice of clothes shows that he's so important that he can do whatever he wants. I think that's a grain of truth in that there, Andrew. Football: Bayern Munich remain 4 points clear at the top of the German Bundesliga after the latest round of games. Bayern beat Eintracht Frankfurt 5-2 on Saturday to remain 4 points clear of Borussia Dortmund, who were 2-0 winners at Wolfsburg. Tennis: the director of the French Open has said there is optimism the tournament will be able to go ahead in the autumn. Guy Forget says that he's not resigned to having the tournament played behind closed doors and hopes to welcome as many people as possible. Forget said that things were moving in a positive direction and that Roland Garros would adapt to whatever the government decides. Or Guy Forget, as somebody pronounced his name on the BBC yesterday. Rugby Union: the England and Saracens lock George Cruces to move to the Japanese top league side Panasonic Wild Knights at the end of the season. The 30-year-old has been at Saracens for 11 years, and the move calls into question his international future. Cruces said it had been a hard decision, but he was extremely excited about the move. The English Rugby Football Union does not select English players based overseas, except for in exceptional circumstances. Cruces has won 45 England caps since making his international debut in 2014. And in golf, Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning have beaten Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady in a game to raise money for COVID-19 relief efforts in the United States. The two golfing greats teamed up with legends of the NFL for the match at the Medalist Golf Club in Hobe Sounds. Woods and Manning ended one up on Mickelson and Brady at the final hole. The American football stars made several cavalier shots in rainy conditions. Television viewers were invited to donate to the COVID-19 relief fund during the match. And by the end of the broadcast, more than $20 million have been raised.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Seam in the VAR, the general situation is an anticyclone, 1,025 millibars over the region. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, the sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,023 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,024 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3, variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Here comes the summer. Hot last night, wasn't it?
It was very hot. Yes, I got a bit burnt.
Mainly fine light southwesterly winds today. Temperatures 25 to 27 degrees. Overnight lows 19 degrees on the coast. 15 degrees inland with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday, mainly fine. Highs of 24 to 27 degrees. Shorts and flip-flops.
You have got your shorts and flip-flops
on. I'm Dominic Cummings.
Well, he wasn't down in the VAR because there are lots of bare bottoms where I
Pardon?
Was.
Pardon? Bare bottoms?
I was at Chez Joe's. Were you in the Bay of Chez Joe?
The nudist
Cavalier, just opposite Sarkozy and Carla Bruni.
What?
I waved at them and, you know, said hello.
You didn't see his bum, did you?
I didn't. My daughter was like, oh, we're not going there again, are we? But it was the only place that was a little bit protected from the wind, you see.
Oh, whatever floats your boat.
I didn't. Right, moving on swiftly. This certainly doesn't float my boat. Marmite, apparently, well, you know, you either love it or hate it, but did you have roast potatoes over the weekend?
No, I did have a lot of potatoes, though. I had a potato salad yesterday and I made some sort of chips on Friday.
So. Well, for many people, crispy roast potatoes are the star, of course, of Sunday dinner.
It's a bit hot for that now, though, isn't
it? A little bit hot. But they're now saying that to make the best roast potatoes is to cover them in Marmite.
No.
Yeah, apparently so.
I can't see that working out at all. Well, and I like Marmite.
But do you really?
I do, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I'm not mad about it.
You're
but
not perfect, then, are you? And I was thinking you were perfect. Then, charming.
If I want roast potatoes, I don't want them to taste
Marmite. Do you put them in cold or hot oil?
Oh, it's got to be very hot.
Apparently not.
Yes.
You might be doing that wrong. I know.
Look, you've got to cook... Parboil them and until they start falling apart, basically. So about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And the bash, you then give them a good bash when you strain them, so that all the fluffiness comes out. And
right.
Then I use olive oil, but people use duck fat. But olive oil works really well.
Oh, do you use olive oil?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
And quite a lot of it. And then you sort of coat the potatoes in the very hot oil when it's been in the oven for 5-10 minutes, and just
Box
turn them once or twice. Yeah. And they come out very, very crispy.
Very nice.
Hmm.